The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So I feel some happiness to be able to talk or consider this the Buddha's concept or teaching or use of the word anukampa. The word, the part kampa means to shake, and anu means towards or with. And for in modern English, I like to think of it as resonating with others, to have something inside that can resonate. And this resonance, this word anukampa, I think the best translation that I can come up with right now for it is caring. And it's a basic concept that appears in the Buddha's teachings. And oddly enough, it's emphasized a lot. It's used a lot. It's used much more than the word karuna, compassion. But it is never something that a person cultivates. It's not something one develops. The Buddha put tremendous emphasis on cultivation, development of the heart. But the anukampa is not. It's almost as if anukampa is an assumed part of the human being, that our capacity to care is kind of innate, or kind of course we'll care for each other, provided we have somehow settled or let go of all the obstructions from it. When we're caught up in preoccupations, caught up in being in a hurry, caught up in anger or greed or delusion and fantasy, it might be very hard to give space to feel where we resonate, where we have empathy, where we have this, emotions, feelings of being in relationship to other people. But the Buddha seems to assume that this is the case, and that people will act from there, that parents will have this care for their children, and friends will have this care for anukampa for each other, and that the Buddha himself acts in the world not out of karuna, but out of this anukampa. Some of the things that the Buddha says that he does out of anukampa is or some people ask him, one of the kind of, maybe it's a common colloquial expression in ancient India, when someone is sick or someone wants and requests the Buddha to come to see them, they ask him, please, out of care, could be out of compassion, but I think that out of care for me, out of consideration for me, please come to visit. The Buddha said to teach out of care. He also receives, and people want to give him food, for example, he receives it out of care, out of some kind of, in the relationship to them. And one of the things I wanted to emphasize today, that this word care is a relational word. It's a word that exists in, or the concept that occurs, an event that occurs, in relationship to people, in relationship to others. And that for the Buddha, it seems like he assumes that we live in a relational world, and he emphasizes a tremendous amount, but without using the English word relationship or in relation. I don't know how many, I can't remember any place seeing in any English translation the word relationship or in relation to. So for people looking for that and value that, it's missing. But it's a little arbitrary how we translate some of these words from the ancient language. But we find a lot of words that are closely connected to that. we have the Buddha was always was think seemingly regularly was thinking in ways that used conditionality. That's the English word we use. That things exist in relationship. They exist because of conditions. Things exist in dependence is the English word that's used for Pali. So things exist in dependence to each other, in relationship to each other, on a basis of other things. Think some things are said to exist like two straws of reed, straws of reed, the plant, and they're leaning against each other and they hold each other up. So they live in a relationship to each other, they exist in a relationship to each other, holding each other up. They exist because they're in relationship. And for the Buddha, everything that exists is said to be conditioned. Everything means that everything that exists exists in relationship to other things. And in terms of our behavior, other people, the Buddha, as far as I can read, over and over and over again, took the teachings, religious teaching, spiritual teaching of his time, and repeatedly reframed them in the context of a relationship to other people, in terms of what we might call ethics, in terms of how we would relate to other people out of our goodness, out of non-greed, non-hate, and non-delusion, as opposed to relating to people out of greed, hatred, and delusion. And, you know, this tremendous emphasis on greed, hate, and delusion in the Buddha's teachings and becoming free of it as a definition of liberation is putting liberation in a relational context, because greed and hatred, especially hatred, but greed and hatred have a lot to do with the relational way we are in the world and with other people. And so over and over again, the Buddha's coming back to this. And one of my favorite ways, I think I said yesterday, is when the Buddha defined a person of great wisdom. He said a person of great wisdom is concerned with the welfare of oneself, welfare of others, welfare of self and others, and welfare for the whole world. So where does that come from, this concern for the welfare of everything, self, other, the whole world? Where does that come from? If it doesn't come from obligation, doesn't come from a logical kind of idea, this is what we should do, and it comes out of, for example, someone who spends a lot of time meditating, the chances are that it wells up as a responsivity, as a response to this relational world that we live in. We are influenced by others, we feel others, they feel us, and as this capacity to settle deeper and deeper and the obstructions fall away, we touch into this place of resonance, this place of anukampa, where we, you know, maybe it's close to the idea, maybe the English idea of empathy. And so ethics then doesn't come from following rules. It comes from being in touch with this place where things vibrate or resonate, or where this goodness exists, where we feel in a deep, heartfelt way this being in relationship to the world around us, or how there's a mutual support, or we are. And so for the Buddha, it seems like this kind of place is just assumed to be there. And as people develop spiritually, it's just assumed more and more that, of course, that's what they'll operate from. And it seems like the Buddha's care for the world, the Buddha's way in which engaging and teaching for the world, came out of this place of anukampa. It's a different place than metta, karuna, mudita, and upekkha, loving kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy, and equanimity, for a number of reasons. One is that it encompasses all those other four forms of love. It's also maybe more basic and simple. A metta is a friendliness. It's cognate with friend, so it's a kind of way of being friendly and having goodwill, which is a little bit more conceptual, a little more active. Compassion also is really in connection to people suffering, and it's also a little bit more engaged, maybe, or specific. Certainly, a sympathetic joy is a little bit more conceptual and recognizing something wonderful that's happening there. And upekkha, equanimity, maybe as a Brahma Vihara, also comes from kind of, it's understood to be kind of a wisdom understanding, having a bird's eye view, a perspective on what's happening, that's also a little bit more activated than this deep, settled, quiet place where care exists, a kind of place of care that then can be manifested in loving kindness or friendliness, compassion, sympathetic joy and equanimity, but that it's something much more basic and simple and relaxed that doesn't require a lot of thinking, doesn't require a lot of conceptualization. It's just this vibration, this resonance, this place of warmth, of kindness. The Buddha doesn't say that this is innate in us, but he seems to assume that it's there and that that's how people will operate. And I find it very helpful to have this as a reference point, that there is something very peaceful, something at ease, something that doesn't get troubled easily, but that is a kind of a warm caring and a way of living in relationships, that relationships are important. And this Dharma practice we're doing from the very beginning is a practice that is very much connected to our relational world, our relationship to other people and animals and beings and the earth itself. That of course it is, of course, in all kinds of very fundamental ways, we only exist in dependence on other things. We only exist because certain conditions come together to hold us up. We only exist because we're leaning against other things which are leaning against us, keeping us going and alive. And of course, so this deep relational way we are, what happens when the deep relational place of empathy, of connection, of warmth, of goodness, of care comes from a place where there is no greed, no neediness, no attachments, no fear? Can we settle and discover this deep place of goodness within? And then let that be the support, let that be how we come into the world. And if we do that, I think it becomes second nature. It becomes a natural thing to want to care for others and to care for ourselves. And this idea that Dharma practice cultivates and develops people who care, maybe care in fierce ways, in strong ways, in wise ways, this is a very inspiring idea for me. And I hope that all of us, as we continue to develop this practice, we clearly see the connection between this practice and becoming people who have anukampa, anukampa, anukampa for the whole world. Thank you very much.